And now the game where we invite famous people on to answer questions about obscure things. There are some authors associated with a place who just make you dream of going there. You want to visit Norman MacLean's Montana, or Armistead Maupin's San Francisco, Sarah Palin's Alaska. And then there's an author who writes about South Florida so vividly with such realism that it's a miracle that anyone ever comes to visit at all. Carl Hyacin is a Florida native. He's been documenting Florida's rush to the apocalypse in dozens of novels like Striptease and Skin Tight and the Newbery Honor-winning Hoot. We are delighted to have him with us. Carl Hyacin, welcome back to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. When last we spoke to you, we were really interested in basically a question, which is, you write about South Florida in your novels, which are very funny, but shall we say, very hostile to certain things about South Florida,
yeah,
as represented in your fiction. And you keep writing these novels, and yet you are still here.
I am.
So you're still here, even the last two or three years in Florida's history, and you're still not leaving.
The material is so terrific.
Yeah.
I mean, for a writer, whether it for a columnist or for a novelist, it's a hard place to leave. And we have lots of writers pouring into Florida just because of our weirdness.
So really?
I feel like I have to stake out. Yeah. I mean, I think Stephen King probably spends more time in Florida now than he does up north. I'm pretty sure he does. I'm serious. Yeah, I think he does. And I think he's horrified.
Really?
Finally? Yeah. Finally he is. Yeah.
Finally we've discovered what could frighten Stephen King.
That's right.
Before you go further, can you give us a one sentence on the nature of the weirdness? Because everyone knows of the weirdness, but not the why of the weirdness.
Well, I think it's sort of an amiable depravity, I would describe it as. We're all in this together. This is really, Florida has always been a magnet for outlaws and scoundrels and sort of a predatory element. We have, for many years, we were flooded with retirees from up north.
Yes.
And the people moved with that herd down here to prey upon them.
Right.
And,
so, and I mean, that's almost like a Mutual of Omaha kind of scenario.
Is,
and here come the herds of buffalo.
It's no which
trailing
way.
Them the vultures.
It's the wildebeest on the Serengeti.
Yeah.
Only here.
Right.
And the rest
except
of
the
us.
The wildebeest are all driving Cadillacs very slowly.
That's right.
So let's talk about the last couple of years since last we spoke. To me, one of the more interesting things that you've done is elect your new governor, Mr. Rick Scott. Which is... Now, Rick Scott, who we
this
haven't mentioned
great.
On the show before because we were afraid no one would believe it, this is his first elected office.
Right.
And his prior experience was running a healthcare company which defrauded the federal government out of about $1 billion.
Yes, it was the biggest Medicare fraud in the history of Medicare. Mm.
Right. And so explain to me, as a native Floridian, the mindset that says, this is just the man to handle all of our affairs.
Well, it's sort of the same reason that I've always advocated that felons should be allowed to vote. Because who better qualified to judge the politicians
exactly.
in our state?
Right, right.
Getting back to Scott, he ran a very, very successful campaign. He spent, I don't know, $78, $80 million of his own money, which
yes.
used to be our money.
Our money, yeah.
But he had one of the greatest campaign slogans ever, which was, hey, they never indicted me. And, no Floridian could resist that.
That's true.
Yeah.
If you could, if you had sort of magical powers, would you make Florida normal, or do you actually kind of like it?
No. That would be terrible. It would be,
yeah.
Florida's never going to, it's nothing I would have to worry about if I had magical powers. I mean, I think there wouldn't be a bad thing to go back to the day where... there were saber-toothed tigers that took care of certain members of the species.
Oh, I see what you mean.
I think as you drive around, the more you're here, you'll understand this. That there are times when you wish that the saber-toothed tigers were still here.
Really?
I'm just going to call the herd a little bit.
We've covered stories in Florida of people, for example, the guy who let an alligator babysit his 3-year-old. And I'm thinking that it seems like Floridians are doing their own part to cull their own herd. Your last book, the book before that was actually a memoir about playing golf.
Oh,
picking
God.
Up golf again?
Yes, it was terrible. I'd given up golf for about 36 years, and I was persuaded to go back. It's probably the most disturbing book I've ever written, and it's nonfiction.
Really?
Why
disturbing?
Because of the things that happened to me, and because some of the language was, I couldn't show that book to my mother ever.
You're one of those people who swear a lot on the golf course?
Yeah. Well, if you saw what happened, it's carnage. It's a terrible, dreadful sport. And so I started it up again, and a friend of mine, Mike Lupica, the sports writer, I would call him up, and he's a good golfer, and I would tell him what had happened to me. One day I sunk a golf cart, and I thought.
Wait a minute.
You know.
Stop.
I sunk the golf cart, and I thought, well, this must
happen. In what?
In a lake.
All right.
Yeah, in a lake. And I thought, this must happen all the time, because there's hills on golf courses.
And lakes.
And lakes, and if you don't set the brake, by golly, that's what happens. And I'm, to this day, insisting there was a brake problem. But anyway, so I call up Lupica. I would tell him these stories. There were snake incidents. There were a few other things that happened that weren't very pleasant. And he would just say, you've got to start keeping a diary. Because this doesn't happen to anybody else. And I said, you've never sunk a golf cart? He said, I've been playing golf since I was 6 years old. I don't even know anybody who sunk a golf cart. So that was why I wrote this book. It was called The Downhill Lie, and it was just about everything bad that it happened to me. There was an incident involving live rats and a 7-iron, which...
Were they live at the end of the story?
No, ma'am, they were not.
Well, Carl Hiaasen, we are really glad you're here. We've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Where we are from, frozen water falls from the sky.
You've lived your whole life in Florida, so what the hell do you know about winter? The only way that you can tell the seasons are passing is the waxing and waning of snowbirds on the beach.
No, you know what? How you can tell?
How can you tell?
The color of the license tags change.
Really?
Yes. Am I right? That's how you know.
So, we are going to ask you about what we people from the northern climes do to enjoy ourselves in the winter. Get two of these questions right. You'll be a prize for one of our listeners. Carl, who is Carl Hiaasen playing for?
Carl is playing for Karen Eckstein of Orlando, Florida.
All right. Here's the first question. Ready?
Yep.
All right. One sport, a winter sport, was invented, according to legend, by bored ski lift operators in the 1970s. Is it A, bong jumping, B, shovel racing, C, injury predicting?
I'm going to go with bong jumping.
You're going to go with bong jumping?
Yeah, because that sounds okay.
It sounds like fun. No, it was shovel racing. See, the ski lift operators all have shovels to remove the snow.
Yeah, right.
One day they were bored, gotten a shovel.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's okay.
Fine.
Yeah, fine.
Sorry.
Shovel racing.
There are other countries, next question, there are other countries that have winter besides ours. One of these is a winter recreation somewhere else in the world. Is it A, shark ice fishing in Greenland, B, full contact figure skating in Siberia, C, nude snowshoe racing in Norway?
Ooh. Oh, God. That sounds too happy, right?
It does
for
sound
Norway.
Happy, but you know what? I'm going to go with that.
You're going to go with what? What are you going to go with?
The nude, was it snowshoe?
It was nude, I think, yeah. Nobody's looking at the snowshoes, though. It was nude snowshoe racing in Norway. Now, do you think that's true, or do you wish that were true?
You're probably right.
The other two were shark ice fishing in Greenland.
No, I'm going to go with the shark ice fishing.
You're right. It's shark ice fishing. You've yourself been known to wet a line, as I say. You like to fish.
Yes, I like
right.
to fish,
so you probably will understand the appeal then of walking out in a frozen bay in Greenland in the middle of winter, digging
one.
A very large hole and trying to catch a Greenland shark, which go up to about 21 feet.
Yeah, I mean that's one thing we miss here in Florida. With
ice fishing.
Yeah, it just kills us too.
Yeah, to know that you're missing out on that experience. Yeah. All right, you've got one for two. Get this one right and you'll win. In 1918. The New York Times and other papers heralded a new hybrid winter sport that they thought was sure to catch on around the country. It was which of these? A, ice tennis, all the balls of tennis, none of the traction needed to get to them. B, ski jump wrestling, in which the guy on top, when they get to the end of the ramp, wins. or C, ice brick dodgeball, the sport that nobody played more than once?
I'm sorry, the first one again?
Ice tennis.
Wait, which publication? Did you say New York Times?
New York Times actually mentioned this, yes.
I think it's got to be tennis if the New York Times.
Ice tennis?
Yeah, because I don't think the New York
Times.
They're
a bunch of snobs. That's the sort of
they're
spot
not going to go for naked guys wrestling.
I didn't say anything about them being naked.
Yeah. Oh. Sorry.
I was right there with you.
All right. But your choice, for whatever sick reason, your choice was ice tennis.
I think it has to be.
And you're right, it is ice tennis. Well done. One Illinois paper said of ice tennis, quote, it is expected that the idea will be imitated by many clubs throughout the country. That expectation was not met. Carl, how did Carl Hiaasen do in our quiz?
Well, he had two correct answers, so Carl wins for Karen Eckstein. Congratulations.
All right. Good.
Well done. Carl Hiaasen is an award-winning author and columnist. His latest book is Star Island. You must read it. Carl Hiaasen, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
For joining us. Carl Hiaasen, ladies and gentlemen. Well done.